Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
To experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
You can't play the hot dog part. You like it, right?
You don't like it, right?
Play the
hot dog sliced.
Do you have that audio?
I do. That's right. Mr. Kraft's love of all things hot dogs. And one of the more random references ever, I think that was after last year's Jacksonville game, right?
I think so.
Because they were asking him, you know, does this get old heading to the Super Bowl? And to that, here is a response right here.
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
It was just random to me.
You like it, right?
Has he ever asked you that, Troy Brown?
No. I must have been after a nice couple of drinks.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Well, hot dogs do taste better when you're, you know, trying to, you know, get a little base.
Nice five scotches and a hot dog. All right, Troy Brown, thank you for joining us. And they played. If you watched the game, did you know it was hot?
No, I didn't.
Well, it was. They mentioned him from.
I didn't realize that.
They mentioned him from time to time. But what is worse? Is playing in the cold worse or playing in that kind of heat?
Playing in the heat is awful.
Okay.
It is the worst. Yeah, you can't breathe. You can't do anything. So then you turn those stupid misting machines on the sideline that adds about 20 pounds of water weight to your pants. it's just bad. You can't breathe. You know, it's just awful.
You hear stories about coaches conditioning their players if they know it's going to be a hot game coming up.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Did Bill ever try anything like that?
Bill's a genius at coaching, and it's the one thing he can't figure out is how to get his team to play well in that kind of weather in Florida in September.
Yeah.
He hadn't figured that one out yet.
Yeah.
They struggle against Miami. That early in the season they do.
So was yesterday a case of first four games of the season, we've seen it year after year, that teams just trying to figure stuff out, or we got problems?
I think it's, well, they were in Florida, September. It's a Florida game in September.
Yeah.
And they are still trying to figure some things out. And really, I mean, Hogan caught two touchdowns that, you know, kind of got him back in the game late in the game. But up until that point, the receivers basically had about 35 yards of receiving up until that point. And they didn't really do much else with anybody else. I think James White was having a pretty decent game offensively. Name somebody else.
Why wasn't Gronk involved? You're right, I think Tom Brady had one pass over 10 yards yesterday too.
It was they didn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. I mean, the game plan was just, hey, Gronk's not going to beat us. Find somebody else on offense that can hurt us, and we'll live with that. So,
and they couldn't find anyone else.
They couldn't find anybody else that could hurt them.
Are you still amazed that, you know, even though they obviously had a good plan against Rob Gronkowski? I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Last week, you saw him catching passes in triple double coverage and just pulling it down. Brady was just chucking it up there. Are you still amazed that Gronk only got two catches yesterday?
No, I'm not. I'm not surprised at that, because those guys last week from the Texans, they were nowhere near the athletes that the Jacksonville Jaguars have. Mm-hmm. So that group of guys is just amazing. So Marcell Dareus probably runs faster than some of those guys in the Texans secondary.
Wow. Was there a point in the game where, to you, Tom Brady looked a little scared, a little gun shy?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, do you see those guys coming after him?
Yeah. I have to tread lightly on that.
Did you see how fast they were getting back there?
Yeah. See, I have to tread lightly when it comes to criticizing Brady. I don't know who's going to be waiting for me out in front of the stadium.
You don't have to be afraid of that, man. I mean, if that's what you saw, then that's what you saw.
Yeah.
And you can disagree with it if you want to.
But you don't see that often, do you?
No, you don't. I mean, because they do a pretty decent. I think. I mean, look at some of the guys last week. They had like Clowney and Watt and, you know, Merciless. Some guys that's been proven guys over the years to be pretty good defensive players, and they held up pretty well. But just this week, this was these guys were just like they just rotate these guys in. They're about seven deep on the front four, and they just keep rolling them, and they're just fresh, and they just keep bringing it, and. Probably bigger. They're just bigger guys that are athletic as hell, and they just keep bringing the funk all day long, man. And it's just it was relentless. And they were getting back there so quick on those guys. And, you know, they were down Marcus Cannon this game, and they just didn't have a chance, you know. So, I mean, up front, it was just pure dominance by Jacksonville. And they just left off where they left off last year. They picked it up from there.
As a receiver, do you see any hope for Cordarrelle Patterson?
Be honest.
They're doing some things to get the ball in his hands. It's just not receiver wise. So they gave him a handoff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a big guy that can probably handle some pounding as a running back. He does some pretty good things with the ball in his hands. The fact that he's just not a polished receiver to run the routes to get the ball in his hands.
That's
the issue.
So great, Troy. They've got a team that's already short on receivers, and they're taking a receiver and basically turning him into a running back.
Yeah, they were short on running backs.
Cordarrelle Patterson looks like a little bit like Fred Flintstone. Like his legs got to get going.
Troy, they threw the ball and he hit a flat and he fell down.
He can fly.
I know he can fly.
That was a bad looking play. Yeah, that was not good because he was basically one-on-one.
He was by himself.
Which was the spot you wanted him in, one-on-one with the defender out there, and he can make a play. Third and five, you know, you put your money on Cordell to make that first down and keep that drive alive. But, yeah, he just tripped over his own feet. So that was not a good-looking play.
All right, so what is the Monday after a day like yesterday like in the locker room? Or when you show up to practice today, what are all the players hearing?
You know, you get in there, and obviously it's a day that you got to go in there and get your workout in, so you can come in early if you want to and do your workout, and you go in and you get prepared to look at all the bad plays that you and you know, and you kind of figure Bill's gonna point out everything that you did wrong and who wasn't playing hard and who screwed up the most, and you know, you get pointed out quite a bit today. A lot of corrections to be made, and you get out on the field and you walk through all the things that you did wrong and correct them and all that stuff, and then you kind of put that game behind you and move on to the next. So it won't be as bad as you think it's going to be, because you might find a few things that you did well, but yeah, this ain't one of those games. It'll be totally, yeah, all the things that you did bad, and so it'll be a long time in the meeting room today looking at everything you did wrong.
When you look at the defense, I mean, what were they able to – like, what did they do wrong to make Blake Bortles look like Joe Montana in his prime yesterday? I think it was arguably Blake Bortles' best game of his career.
Not arguably. I don't ever see him play better.
No, it was his best game of his career.
Yeah, the second best was last year.
Yeah.
In the AFC Championship.
Right.
So – and it's basically he just did exactly what he did last year. He just threw the ball a little better in this game because last year he underthrew a couple of balls last year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, there was a couple early in the game that he underthrew down the sideline that he could have had some big plays on. And that last play that Gilmore knocked down was underthrown.
Mm-hmm.
He just threw a little bit better. And these guys actually dropped a couple of them this game that he could have had. They actually isolated some of these safeties in coverage. I thought the safeties had an awful game.
Yeah.
You know, Harmon, McCourty, Chung, before he went left the game, Even the other McCourty, when he came in, didn't have a good game either. And the linebackers had a tough game today, too, trying to tackle some of these backs out in space and even covering some of these tight ends. They didn't have a good game at all. So I think they did a good job of getting the ball out of his hands pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was sitting some of these guys out in the flat pretty quick.
He also had all day to throw, man.
And then when he did take his time, you know, five-step drops, he was back there and he had all kinds of time to throw the football. So they didn't have a whole lot of pressure on him. So, and then losing Trey Flowers, that didn't help the situation at all either. So I just felt like that they just kind of played the Patriots the way the Patriots usually play people, mm-hmm. is getting the ball out of Tom Brady's hands quick, using his backs real well. You know, I thought Corey Grant and T.J. Yeldon had an excellent game for him. And then that one matchup at the receiver position, I think Keelan Cole just absolutely dominated the guys that he went against in this game. So they had to take Roy out of the game for a little while, too. So, I mean, yeah. That was, you know, just dominance. That one catch he had was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was great. You know, catch the year so far.
Doing an inspection on these gloves, man. Holy crap. I mean, Jesus, that thing just stuck to his hand, man.
Yeah, it's almost like he has something on it.
But, you know, that's the thing going into that game. You were looking at both of these groups of receivers like, you know, who's going to step up in one of these groups of receivers and make some plays. And Keelan Cole, I mean, he stepped up and he ran by Roe a couple of times in this game. And like I said, that one catch was ridiculous. And that touchdown, he just blew by him and made a sick catch in the end zone there too. But, you know, so you had basically the one-on-one matchup. Somebody had to win.
Mm-hmm.
He took advantage of his one-on-one matchup, you know, out there. And then the backs just absolutely dominated. Like I said, dominated those safeties that they tried to get in coverage because they didn't want to have those, you know, Kyle Van Noy's and those guys and Roberts messed up with those backs and tight ends all the time in coverage. So they had the safeties down there trying to do it, and that didn't work out for them either.
All right, when you were playing, how often were there rumors of other guys on other teams using Stick'Em or something on their gloves? Like, how prevalent was that?
That was before. I'm old. I'm not that old. That was back in Lester Hayes days, man. So,
but there was no one trying to like pull a fast one. Even when you were playing, there was no rumors about that.
We were strictly leather. We had leather. It was the Newman. We were back in the Newman days. I don't know if they make those anymore.
You didn't grease yourself up, dude. The defensive linemen didn't grease themselves up. Like,
that's you had to be careful when you went to, you know, congratulate a lineman or something, you know, you had you got Vaseline all over your jersey, silicone or something all over on your arms.
It's absolutely true. Yeah. All right, we'll talk more to Troy Brown, 617-779-0985, 617-779-0985.
Motion wide to left. Brady takes the snap. He backs up and screens it left for Patterson. Makes the catch, and then he toppled over. He lost his balance and fell at the 28-yard line. He was eventually touched up there by DJ Hayden. Missed opportunity for the Patriots.
Think it too much. He's out there in space.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich reflecting on the Patriots loss. Please keep those that have been displaced by the Merrimack Valley gas explosions in mind. You can help with the financial donation by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or texting Red Cross to 90999 to make a $10 donation instantly. Troy Brown in studio. And, Rich, you had something? Because I want to get to Devontae Adams when we can.
Okay, so let's talk about the news that came out of Cleveland this weekend where Josh Gordon is going to be released today. At least they announced it on Saturday. And the reason that they do that is because you can't make any transactions over the weekend, I think, starting around Saturday at 4. So don't think they didn't do this on purpose. They wanted to get it out there so teams could potentially get together some sort of trade package in order to get him before they would eventually have to release him. One of the teams, we had Burt Breer on the pregame show with Mark Bertrand before the game, and he said that the Patriots are doing some exploration. They're not too much more than that. They're not in, they're not out, but it seems like they're not immediately saying no. What's your opinion of Josh Gordon? And once again, is this another receiver that you can just chalk up to there's no way he's going to fit in the midseason?
I have always thought Josh Gordon was a tremendous talent. You know, I've always, in my opinion, I always thought he was the closest thing to Randy Moss when I saw him play. You know, the speed, the athletic ability, his ability to go up and catch the football and make plays on it. Mm-hmm. I thought highly of him as a football player. Now the other stuff that comes along with Josh Gordon, you know, I just thought he's wasted all that talent over the. I heard you guys say it's been 6 years.
Yeah,
you know, and he's just having the talent like Randy Moss. He's wasted a ton of money and a chance to change his life, his family's life, and everybody else, and everybody else around him. You know, and to me, it's that you don't love football enough to give up all of that other stuff that you're doing.
It's insane. It's insane.
You know, you just don't love it enough if you can't quit doing that and leave that crowd alone or the extra stuff that you're doing on the side alone enough to participate in the sport that you're supposed to love enough, you know, to go out and make money doing something you love to do, to play a game.
What about the marijuana rules in the NFL? I mean,
well, I think Nikovich said something to me last night. He was talking about it on the show with us last night. I think he said you had to test positive. I forgot how many times. Did he say 6 times or something you had to fail or something?
Oh, really?
He may have said more than that.
Before you get, like, some sort of suspension?
Something like that. So, I didn't know that, but he said it's numerous amount of times you got to fail.
Yeah, because it's like these teams have opiates all over the place and other things to, like, get you ready to play. And marijuana is a lot less addictive and a lot less strong. It seems odd that the NFL still cares about that.
Yeah, and that's a great point too. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You know, that part of it. You know, because I mean, it's becoming legal in lots of other places. You know,
yeah.
Gambling's not legal. Not that it's, you know, it's drug or anything like that. But I mean, I don't know. Some people use marijuana to kind of relax and do other things, and
you can use pain, it for whatever. Pain,
like
yeah.
you bring up a great point where. Like, hey, they used to give out Indocin and other stuff and Vicodins and everything else. You had, you know, I think Brett Favre would be the first person to tell you he was on, what was it, Vicodin he was on?
Yeah.
You know, and all the other stuff that they, you know, Oxycontins and all that stuff the guys were hooked on. And they would pass it out like candy to get guys ready to play. And like you said, well, if guys decide they want to, you know, after a game, want to, you know, take a toke or two to right. make themselves feel a little better.
Yeah.
You know, then I'm all for that, you know, but you know, I don't condone guys coming to play the game under the influence, you know, but if they need to take a little something to make themselves feel better after the game, then that's fine with me. But, you know, but, some of the other stuff, some of the other heavy stuff that, you know, that they get into, I don't see that.
Well, that's just dangerous. That's dangerous.
That puts themselves at danger and other players in danger, too.
Right, and it's illegal, and I mean, there's obviously a reason why they have those rules, but like you said, with marijuana being essentially legal most places, it just is odd to me that they would still... And then, you know, in a league that doesn't want bad publicity, like, you could... avoid all of that. We're just not testing for marijuana. Because every time someone tests positive...
I don't know what other league does test for marijuana. Does baseball test for marijuana?
That's a great point.
I'm pretty sure basketball does it. I don't think they do.
Silver doesn't want to do it, the commissioner.
He wouldn't have a league.
Probably because he's smart.
Yeah,
that's true. too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long season.
but are the Patriots... Because, I mean, you could... One person could take a look at the Browns organization and know that they've been just the definition of failure, and they're not a well-run organization. We've seen what's happened. Is the Patriots the anecdote to that? Can they take somebody like Josh Gordon, who, whatever you say about the rule, and as ridiculous as it is, but it's the rule. Can they take somebody like Josh Gordon and turn him into an effective football player who, I guess, won't blow it like he did with Cleveland?
It hadn't happened so far. It's been 6 years.
But it's been Cleveland, Cleveland, Cleveland. That's the thing. I mean, do you think this organization has a strong enough structure that they would be able to change that and the way that he lives his life? I know this is almost...
Well, I mean, let's look at a different person that had a different type of problem. Let's go back to Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah.
So...
Wasn't that just a laziness problem, though?
Okay, you would think the culture would change him. Being in this culture would change him and make him want to be a better player. You know,
he got paid and he just said, I'm not doing anything.
He got paid and he bought a big white Rolls Royce and riding around Foxborough.
Yeah.
You know? So
I spent time with him in a chicken wing eating contest.
He was riding around Foxborough. Yeah.
Until the bottom of his car started scraping the road.
I mean, so it's that it didn't really change him. I mean, okay, it kind of revived Randy Moss's career.
Right.
Worked for him.
Without a doubt.
You know, but Randy was a, he was a superb player, though. He kind of had, you know, I wouldn't say he was as Albert Haynesworth or Josh Gordon, but he was kind of revived his career.
And plus, he's a generational talent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but
you yourself said the talent is there.
The talent is there. There's no there's no denying that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just it's always been Cleveland, Cleveland, Cleveland. You know, but God, it's just it for me it would be a reach.
But is it worth it? Because you got you saw what happened yesterday. I mean, the receiver depth is just so bad right now.
I would reach back to Matthews or Kenny Britt. I would even do Dez Bryant before I would do Josh Gordon.
You would.
I even though I think Josh Gordon is a superior talent.
Thank you very much, Troy Brown.
I would give Dez Bryant a shot before I would give.
You get laughed at.
We would go to Josh Gordon.
We were doubled over with humor.
You were cackling. I thought it would be a better move to bring in Dez Bryant.
John, you've tickled my ribs. Cackling.
Troy just felt sorry for you during that break.
Kenny
That's why he's sticking up for
By the way, Kenny Britt reportedly is going to be back in for a workout today.
Well, I
heard that, too.
Bring out the duck boats.
His name came up. Add that little piece of knowledge to the conversation.
Well, is he bringing a hamstring with him?
Unfortunately, yes. That's true.
So they got a cadaver.
Yes.
Ready to cut it out.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, I'm really interested in this Vontae Davis thing. Yes. He retired at halftime. Which is really weird. And then
had like a pre-written statement that seemed like he was ready to go beforehand.
That he was like so brave. And like, all right, so I want to talk about that. Troy Brown in studio, if you got anything, 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bortles drops back. He sets up. He throws to the near side, wide open. Galen Cole makes the catch in front of Eric Rowe with a stiff arm. He steps out of bounds at the Patriot 40-yard line.
Uncalled for. Absolutely. Third and 10, and he's 12 yards off at the snap. And he basically gets turned around 17 yards downfield. I mean, this play's not even competitive. 22 easy pitch and catch. I mean, to the point, he looks hurt there.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Very fortunate to have Troy Brown in studio. I'm sure he's going to be thrilled to be here after the next game.
Oh, yeah. You'll be getting, what time will you be getting out of Toby Keith next week?
Five out of the next seven or at 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh,
stupid a lot NFL. They do. They play a ton of night games coming up.
Troy, I'm going to ask you.
It sucks being a Patriots fan, I guess.
Well, if you have a job. Yeah. All right, so Troy, I want to ask you this. Is that the way the league is now, and yesterday's game was entertaining because there was long drives and there weren't huge gaps in play. But, like, I went to the Jets Lions game a couple Monday nights ago, and then I tried to watch the Dolphins.
Sorry
Jets.
To hear that.
I left basically at halftime. But the game is like a slog now. Like unless it's well played, like yesterday, like the game is a slog. Do you look at it with all the replays now, and all the if they're discussing rules about if a guy landed on the quarterback with all these stoppages in play, how much different is the game now than when you played?
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, there's everything is under replay. I mean, under 2 minutes, all the scores, if it's anything close to being controversial, it goes to replay.
Right.
So everything that slows the game down makes it that much longer. And it's basically a free rest for teams when you got a team on the ropes,
right.
You know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They get a free rest, and you know, if you're on the ropes, you get a free rest. So, there's a lot of stoppage in the game, and it can drag games out to closer to 3.5 hours, our plus now.
Would you like that as a player?
No.
Okay.
No, I just want the game to keep moving.
Yeah.
So I hated TV timeouts, especially when you were in a groove. I get that's paying the bills and everything else too, and giving you checks and stuff too. But, you know, I just feel like some of the other stuff we can do without a lot of the other stuff.
Did you wish that you played, because now basically you can't touch a receiver. Do you look at that now and go, like, why the hell wasn't it like that when I was playing?
Man, look, going over the middle, you can go over the middle now, and they got to give you the shoulder now, and, you know, you used to go over the middle with guys like Pepper Johnson and, you know, just crazy guys, Ronnie Lott. Yeah. I came into the league with Ronnie Lott playing safety.
Yeah, and all he wants to do is hurt you.
So yeah, they just want to inflict pain on you.
Right.
So and now it's like they got to give you the shoulder.
Because I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know, Brady's 41 and he's playing at this success rate, but you know, if he played in the 80s, and you look at these guys that fell apart, like if he played in the 80s or played, you know, if he didn't start playing when he did. Basically, now you can't touch the quarterback. So I'm wondering. Yeah, so I'm wondering if this is going to happen a lot now. Like that players, maybe not a lot, but this is going to be not as rare. That quarterbacks will still, you know, be able to play at a high level at an older age.
Well, I don't know if every quarterback has the pliability method. but I mean, they should be able to play longer because guys are going to be afraid to come in and take extra shots on the quarterback. What was it yesterday?
Clay Matthews
for the second week in a row.
Yep,
yesterday was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, they said he picked him up and threw him when that didn't happen at all.
Well, not even
they didn't replay that. That's something. I mean, like. Come on! You can, if you're going to replay something, go look at that because he didn't pick the guy up and throw him.
And by the way,
possibly the game.
I'm not even
exactly because the game didn't tie. It kind of cost your team the game.
But I'm not even positive that that's the rule. I think the rule is that you can't put
all your weight on it. Like really?
Yeah, like you don't have to pick. And so
if you sack somebody and you're going to the ground, I guess you got to figure out a way not to fall on top of the quarterback.
Well, there was a helmet-to-helmet hit yesterday in the Patriots game.
It's been a lot of those.
But
that one was called. It's a bad rule, but that was called the way it was written.
But
you're talking about the one where he went down. Yeah,
he tried to go down on Hogan. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
Hogan.
But that's the rule. But that's
I know. But it was a shoulder tackle.
It's a bad rule, Hogan, but that's the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing the defender can do about that.
There's nothing the defender can do about it. I mean, it's questionable calls. I think that just changes the flow of the game,
mm-hmm.
and. It just puts certain other teams in bad situations. And to me, like yesterday, it kind of changes the flow of the game for Jacksonville. And it gave the Patriots a little momentum and put the game back in their favor. And I don't like the way that works out sometimes, like pass interference calls.
What do you like, pass interference? Spot of the foul, or you like the 15 yards? The one
It's 15 yards, and I don't like the way it's called sometimes.
Yeah,
I just think that, you know, because every offensive coordinator should have it at the end of every half, if you should throw the ball down the sideline.
Right.
Yeah.
And you got a 50-50 chance of getting a 60-yard, 50-yard play. And because they're going to pull the flag out of their pocket if your finger touches the jersey or the jersey shows any stretch in it or you bump a guy, it's a judgment call.
Right.
And most of the time that you might get a flag if you keep throwing it down the field, you know,
right.
You know, you might get a call and get a big chunk of yards. So it's I don't like those kinds of calls, those kinds of plays. And the way they call pass interference now, you can't even lay a finger on these guys.
Did you like going one-on-one against a guy who had a reputation that the refs all had their antennas up on for pass interference?
Yeah, we had those guys in Miami, like Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain, but they would tell you, we're just going to hold you because they're not going to call it every time. And they did, you know, because they would slow the game down, and they knew that.
Yeah,
and they didn't want to, back then, they didn't want to slow the game down that much, and they wouldn't call it, and they just beat the crap out of you. So it would be that way. When we played Miami, Bill would have guys come out there against us, and he would line them up across the line of scrimmage. They would be in the neutral zone, like either a yard across the line of scrimmage, like this close in my face.
Yeah.
And he would tell him to beat him up. And he would put like clubs in their hands and tennis rackets in their hands and have them hitting on you, and you had to go out the jam.
Oh my god! Oh,
so you got to the game, you go against Patrick and Sam, and it would be easy. So
you're not hitting me with the blunt objects.
So. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about what happened with the Bills game yesterday. I mean, obviously the Bills are just atrocious and they got big problems. But one of the biggest ones being that at the start of the second half, there were reports that started surfacing that Vontae Davis decided to retire at halftime. So not only did he not take the field, there's a bunch of people saying, hey, no, I think he said he was retiring, and he released some statement immediately after the game, which is great because it seemed like it was like Mad Libs. Like the whole thing was apparently written because it was lengthy, and he just kind of plugged in like the things about the actual game. Here is a linebacker. Who is this? Who said this? This is... Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker, after the game being asked about Vontae Davis just saying, see you at halftime.
Have you seen anything like that in your NFL
career? Never
have
seen it ever. Pop Warner, high school, college, pros, never heard of it, never seen it. And it's just completely disrespectful to his teammates.
Did he say anything to you?
Did he say anything?
He didn't say nothing to nobody.
He left?
When did he find out? You know as much as I know. I know I found out going in the second half of the game. Coming out, said they said he's not coming out, he retired. So
what?
Yep, that's it. So who said what?
Who said
Sean? Guys on the sideline. I mean, guys heard about it and said that he wasn't coming back out.
All right. Have you ever heard of anything like that ever happening?
I'm with Lorenzo on that one. I've never ever heard of a guy doing that. Just saying I'm done. Well, I guess he didn't say anything. He just didn't come back out.
Yeah, he just put on street clothes.
So, I heard about it.
Yeah.
I heard about it from some other people.
Yeah.
Did he see it on the ticker up on the scoreboard or something?
I think it's great that he was just like, you know what, screw this.
I play for the Bills. We're not good this year. I'm gone.
No, but like, why play the second half? I mean, you're gonna retire after the game. Like, why do I have to play the second half?
I'm sure he... See, that he had to know this.
Yes.
Before the game. He had to know this before the season. You just didn't start feeling this way the second game of the season.
Well, that's what he said, is he said he was questioning whether or not he wanted to come back and if his body was, if he was physically ready to do it. And maybe he got like dinged up or something in the first half and he's like, screw this. I was going to retire after the game anyway. So who knows?
Well, you got to go talk to the trainers or something and be like, look, man, I can't go back out there. But you at least got to keep your uniform on and come back out for the second half.
Yeah.
And if you can't go, just like, look, I'm here. I'm here for my teammates just in case.
Right, you're only my
teammates. Just in case there's an emergency.
Yeah, you're only my teammates for another 15
minutes. I'm with Lorenzo. I have no respect for that. You know, I was under an impression when I first heard it last night that maybe the coach came in. He was so ticked off at the way they were playing. Like, anybody don't want to be here, leave, get your stuff now.
No. Okay.
And he'd be like, okay, I'm going. You know?
That's, see ya.
So.
Just phantom injury the second half or something like that. And then at the end of the game, then you do your retirement. But I just.
I can't. At least he got his stuff and left, because at least I know where we stand now. So, because that guy right there, if he ever decides to come back.
I don't think he can.
You think Bill will bring him in?
Yes.
That's right, baby.
LeGarrette Blount walked off the field, right? When he was playing for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They brought him back,
he
right?
He did it after the game, though.
But that's Pittsburgh, though.
Okay. Tomlin just said, okay.
Tomlin said, whatever you want to do.
Tomlin said, hey, why not? I'm a player's coach. All right. One more segment with Troy Brown, 617-779-0985.
Touch and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chuck the snap to Brady. Throws down the middle. Catch made by Hogan. He gets drilled by Jalen Ramsey, but it's a first down.
There you
22,
go.
And here come a flurry of flags.
Lower the helmet.
Calvin Smith will beg your pardon with the stick across the middle. It was Smith who hit Hogan to draw the penalty, and he had his head lower there.
They're rolling the head to initiate contact.
Flat back.
The distance to the
lower
goal.
Helmet.
Automatic.
They're going to call it.
I think it's a ridiculous call. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the contact
was
bad
call, Bob. Horrendous call. I'll take it. Thank you, NFL. That's football. And you're taking football out of football.
That was a bad call. There's nothing a defensive player could have done there.
By the way, a tweet that has just surfaced from Vontae Davis, December 26, 2013. The people who succeed in life are those who don't quit. Yeah. So.
I guess he's not going to succeed anymore after yesterday.
Well, when you take your advice from Hallmark cards, there's some dangers in that.
Apparently, too, like afterwards, the coaching staff was being asked about it, and when they finally started to answer, like it sounded like somebody was nervous about it and just started going, injuries, injuries, but they cut him off in the middle of it. So you almost have no comments from the coaching staff on one of your players retiring in the middle of the game, which you would think that's all you cared about.
He didn't quit. He retired.
He retired. That's right. Retired.
Yeah, it's right. The difference. He still gets his pension and everything. Retire.
That's right. If he gets all that. Oh, that is the best. That is the best. Imagine just seeing the guy put his jacket on. If you're a teammate, just like puffing on the jacket, putting his. See you guys. Grabbing the car keys.
Yeah. Why not?
Oh, that would be phenomenal. That would be phenomenal.
All right, Troy. Is there anything that you saw yesterday that concerns you for the future?
For the future, I just don't think if they don't get any better at defending teams that have backs like the Jacksonville Jaguars, then they're going to have a hard time with teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they had trouble defending these guys with their safeties.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not even talking about the linebackers right now. So, we're talking about McCourty and Chung and Horman and those guys having a hard time, you know, in coverage. And then if they don't improve at the receiver position and their running back position, getting open when they're taking Gronk out of the game the way that they did, teams are going to be creative. But the good thing about that part of it is, though, most of these teams aren't going to have the type of talent that the Jacksonville Jaguars have on defense.
Yeah, right.
So
sure.
They're not going to see that type of talent defensively for a while. But they've got to figure out a way to get some receiver help or get these guys open a little bit better than what they did. And then the other thing, what I thought was just the wild stat that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Rex Burkhead, he had 6 carries for like 24 yards in the game. He carried the ball for the first 3 carries of the game that the Patriots had, and he carried the ball for the last 3 carries of the game. And in between that, he didn't touch the ball one time.
It was Sony Michel. They were trying to get him involved.
But he was playing special teams all in between there.
Yeah, oh, man.
So and it was coming off the he was questionable coming into the game because of the concussion protocol. Thought that was a little weird.
Right.
But he tested the first 3 times. He carried the ball. He started the game running as the running back and then ended the game as the running back. I thought that was a little strange.
That is odd. I know that it was interesting seeing McDaniels and Brady get hot yesterday. I mean, McDaniels was losing his mind. Does McDaniels, when he gets angry, does he still have that high-pitched voice? Is it kind of strange for people to kind of get upset when he does that?
Yeah, it's rare that you see him get that way. You see Tom get heated and get frustrated with guys, but then when Josh gets that way, it's a little different. So they had to be playing pretty bad, you know, for Josh to get that way. I've seen Skarnecki get that way with the guys, getting on them and getting frustrated. But yeah, Josh, it was a good day for him to. Well, it was a bad day for him for the guys. For Josh to be getting on him that way, man. You know, you see the veins popping out of his head and everything else. And aneurysm, strokes, and everything else going on.
Well, Mike Flynn, who works here, played 11 years for the Ravens, and he played with Ray Lewis. And these famous Ray Lewis pep talks, he said everyone would just be rolling their eyes and not paying attention. You got to go out there, and you know there's grass. So, and then there's a guy.
And it's green.
Yeah.
And when you step on that green grass.
Yes, exactly.
You got to put your foot in there.
Have you ever heard about the story of the tree? It grows. All right. So, when people started getting like that and getting really animated, did you ever just like check out? Just like, all right, dude, like I'm a professional athlete. I don't need this.
Yeah, I didn't need pep talks.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, you just be there. But some people needed that kind of stuff, you know. But, you know, I never really got too jacked up over that stuff, man.
Yeah, I've never met a ex-player that says that, you know what was great? Those inspirational speeches.
Well, Josh McDaniels took me to a whole new level.
Yeah, you took it. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, sometimes on the sidelines like that,
yeah,
you know, Josh is probably giving you more just like, stop feeling sorry for yourself, you know, and,
right.
and you got to execute this and do that. They're not giving us anything that we didn't see, you know, from doing practice. You just got to go out and execute it. You missed a block here. You did that and did that, you know, and pick your heads up, you know. That type of stuff is probably what he's screaming and yelling. It's not yelling about the grass is green and the green grass grows all around. All the wheels on the bus go around and around.
All right, yeah, Trey, what are you up to? Well, what would you like to plug?
Man, I'd just like to plug, man. I've been doing a little, trying to start a little clothing line, Key Player. You know, I've been doing that and trying to get it going, man. And I don't have any gear for you guys right now. I wore a shirt in here a while ago.
Oh, yeah? Key Player shirt?
Key Player shirt, man. And trying to do that stuff. Plugging Narragansett beer.
You know,
doing Narragansett beer.
What are you doing with Narragansett beer? Are you like one of the
Yeah, I invested with them a while ago, years ago. So I've been a major spokesman for them. So we're trying to sell some beer, man.
Yeah.
So trying to make some money.
Well, you don't want to chance it. Have a Gansett.
Have a Gansett, man. Hey, baby.
How do people find your clothing line?
Well, we're trying to get the website up and going.
Okay.
So, and doing all that stuff. So we're in the infancy stages of it, man.
Will it even make Wallach look cool if you wore some of your stuff?
He would look really cool in it.
See?
He would look really cool in it.
Damn right.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Yeah. Well, Troy Brown, it's always a pleasure, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the plug, man. I appreciate it.
Well, whatever you want to plug, feel free.
I will, man. Yes, indeed.
That's all about
Now we can get Ray Lewis up here giving us
a sermon.
Yeah.
5:15:75.
Did you watch that? Did you watch the Hall of Fame speech?
Nah, I did not watch the Hall of Fame speech.
It's the greatest.
You got to watch it.
Yeah. Now pay attention to these numbers. Numbers. 5:15:75. And then they told me. There was no numbers left besides 5 and 2. God can be mysterious.
It like made
That's
no
why
sense.
I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
Seriously,
that's what he said.
It was all in one speech.
He's talking about his mouth.
Yeah, his grown son. He was like pointing him out. I think he's like in college, and he goes, "I love my family. That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
That's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth."
And meanwhile, his son in the crowd's like shaking his head, like, "No,
wants to dig a hole and disappear."
The crowd.
Numbers. We'll never come back to them.
All right, Troy Brown.
I don't have anything to say after that.
All right, Troy Brown. Thank you so much. No commercials here. Just the headlines.
Thanks, Troy.